Good morning to all of you here present, and hello to those at home listening through the website. It's wonderful to be able to share another Sunday in praise and prayer and to learn from God's Word. We'll continue our sermon series today in 2 Peter, where we find reassurance that there will be judgment on the world's evil and also fulfilment of God's promise to rescue his people. And a reminder at the end of our service today is our annual vestry meeting, and I encourage our regular church members to stay for this, to understand the planning for the continued growth at St Andrews and a review of all that has been achieved in 2020. I'll open with a word of scripture. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. We'll open with our first song today, which reminds us of all of God's promises to those who believe in him. And the masks are so that we can join in singing today. So let's hear those praises go up loud and clear today and join in the song, Rejoice, the Lord is King.
Please stand.
Rejoice, the Lord is King, your Lord and King adore. Rejoice, give thanks and sing and triumph evermore. Lift up your heart, lift up your voice, rejoice.
Open with some prayer. Gracious God, you can join in, thank you. Gracious God, we humbly thank you for all your gifts so freely given to us, for life and health and safety, for power to work, leisure to rest, and for all that is beautiful in creation and human life. But above all, we praise you for our Saviour, Jesus Christ, for his death and resurrection, for the gift of your Spirit, and for the hope of sharing in your glory. Fill our hearts with all joy and peace in believing, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Open our hearts to receive your word, that we may know you better and be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Robin's going to share our readings for today.
Good morning. Our Bible reading today is 2 Peter 2, 1 to 22. But there were also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who bought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. Many will follow their depraved conduct and will bring the way of truth into disrepute. In their greed, these teachers will exploit you with fabricated stories. Their condemnation has long been hanging over them, and their destruction has not been sleeping. For if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but sent them to hell, putting them in chains of darkness to be held for judgment, if he did not spare the ancient world when he brought the flood on its ungodly people, but protected Noah, a preacher of righteousness, and seven others, if he condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah by burning them to ashes and made them an example of what is going to happen to the ungodly, and if he rescued Lot, a righteous man, who was distressed by the depraved conduct of the lawless, for that righteous man living among them day after day was tormented in his righteous soul by the lawless deeds he saw and heard. If this is so, then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from trials and to hold the unrighteous for punishment on the day of judgment. This is especially true of those who follow the corrupt desire of the flesh and despise authority. Bold and arrogant, they are not afraid to heap abuse on celestial beings. Yet even angels, although they are stronger and more powerful, do not heap abuse on such beings when bringing judgment on them from the Lord. But these people blaspheme. It matters they do not understand. In matters they do not understand. They are like unreasoning animals, creatures of instinct, born only to be caught and destroyed, and like animals, they too will perish. They will be paid back with harm for the harm they have done. Their ideas of pleasure is to carouse in broad daylight. They are blots and blemishes, reveling in their pleasures while they feast with you. With eyes full of adultery, they never stop sinning. They seduce the unstable. They are experts in greed, an accursed brood. They have left the straight way and wandered off to follow the way of Balaam, son of Beor, who loved the wages of wickedness. But he was rebuked for his wrongdoing by a donkey, an animal without speech, who spoke with a human voice and restrained the prophet's madness. These people are springs without water and mist driven by a storm. Blackest darkness is reserved for them, for they mouth empty, boastful words, and by appealing to the lustful desires of the flesh, they entice people who are just escaping from those who live in error. They promise them freedom, while they themselves are slaves of depravity. For people are slaves to whatever has mastered them. If they have escaped the corruption of the world by knowing our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, and are again entangled in it and are overcome, they are worse off at the end than they were at the beginning. It would have been better for them not to have known the way of the righteousness than to have known it and turned their backs on the sacred command that was passed on to them. Of them the prophets are true. A dog returns to its vomit, and a sow that is washed returns to her wallowing in the mud. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to church. And those who are listening in, welcome to you as well. We continue our little Bible teaching time through this little New Testament book of 2 Peter. And we come to the second of the chapters. So open up your Bibles at home, or you can follow along in your order of service or on your phones that you've got here. And some of the verses and passages I'll put up on the screen as well. Last week, you remember, we started off the first chapter was reminding us to progress in the truth and to know the truth and to be confident of the truth. And the truth is Jesus. Remember, Peter was someone who witnessed and was with Jesus. And Jesus, in answering a question of Peter and the other disciples, said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." All that we need to know as Christians and life is knowing Jesus in the long run. And to be confident of Jesus and the truth concerning him. It's important to get Jesus right, you remember? A surgeon wants to make sure that they're cutting the right vessel before they cut, likewise. So too, it's important to ask that question, who is Jesus, and to be certain of him. And we've asked that question and we know the answer to that. And to trust those who were eyewitnesses, like Peter, who's written down for us God's word for us. And also before the eyewitnesses of Jesus, they had those who heard the voice of God and wrote it down, the prophets. Know the truth. The truth is Jesus. Be confident of the truth. It's important to get Jesus right. Trust those who were eyewitnesses. Trust the proof of the Old Testament prophets. Why? Because as we'll see in this chapter coming up, there will be, sadly, false teachers amongst us. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we grieve like Lot and Noah for the world around about us, especially those whom claim to know you, who live not accordingly. Lord, it grieves us that such have wandered off the track or are in temptation of wandering off, taking others along with them. Take away from us, Father, any sense of self-righteousness as we hear these words. For we know very well, Father, that we too are sinners, but sinners for whom you have chosen and forgiven through the blood of your Son, Jesus. It is by grace that we have been saved, not through anything we've done. And it's a wonderful, merciful thing that you've chosen us, Father, in Christ. So, loving God, thank you for saving us. Help us now to understand how to live in the light of this truth. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may remember last week, I've heard the little saying that being a Christian is more like hopping in onto a train or into a train than getting behind the wheel of a car. The reason why I say that is because the train goes in a particular direction and it's guided by the tracks, and its destination and stops along the way are certain. But a car, on the other hand, can go anywhere that we desire. Your destination is in your control. In the first chapter of 2 Peter, Peter has talked about where the Christian life is going, where it's begun, where it's at, and where its future is. Like reminding us of the athlete, to focus on the finish line helps us to run the race, to stay on track in the present. And what we can expect to happen in along the way on this journey. So Peter shows us, the church, the characteristics and behaviour we ought to see in each other as Christians along the way as we journey on the Jesus train to glory, to those who have received a faith, as Peter puts it, as precious as ours. And so today's sermon title is called Persevere Through Peril. Persevere Through Peril. I prayed the prayer that I did at the beginning because it is easy for us as Christians to become self-righteous. I know for me, when we think of the world around about us and the judgment that's to come upon them. And it's easy to take the higher moral ground and think, I'm not like you, all right? But we were like them and could well, and except for the grace of God, we go. And so, like, it's lovely that little verse is there about Lot in the middle. He grieved for what he saw of Sodom and Gomorrah. He grieved. Noah grieved for his own family and for the world around about us and the judgment coming. And so, likewise, we should grieve, but we should not let our grief rob us of the joy of being kept safe by God in Jesus. Staying on track. Who's read this little book, Toodle, or remembers it? Maybe they read it to their grandchild or their niece or nephew. It's a little favourite one of our family, especially my father-in-law's one. Does someone know the story of Toodle? Does someone know the story? Who'd like to tell the story and I can repeat on the here? Rosemary wants to tell the story. All right. Okay. Go, Rosemary.
Train between, you know, to New York, and so he goes to locomotive school, but he has trouble keeping the rules and he gets into trouble and they find buttercups in his soup at night and all that sort of stuff because he has trouble sticking to the most important rule, which is staying on the rails no matter what. And
yes,
to that they have to get
on the
100%
rails, no
A plus to get stay on the rails. Anyway, one day they catch him in the meadows chasing the butterflies and playing in the buttercups and stuff. And so they work out this plan to get him back onto the rails. And so they put in the meadow a whole stack of people with red flags, because that's the other thing. A red flag means stop. And so while he's chasing the buttercups through the meadows, all these people keep popping up with red flags, and so wherever he goes, he sees a red flag, and it causes him to think, oh, this isn't as much fun as I thought. Maybe I really should be back on the track. And so he then eventually gets onto the rails again, and it's a really cute story.
Thanks, Rosemary. And I haven't... Rosemary didn't know that I was going to ask her that or let her do that one, because I pinched her book off the shelf this morning to do that. It is a great little story, and it's a number of people who are in that story of Toodle who hold up the red flags. And so this is what we are holding up red flags to each other today, all right? And we're helping each other to stay on track no matter what. When we're tempted to do the Toodle, to raise our red flags for each other. There will be false teachers among you, and verse 1 reminds us first and foremost not to get shocked, all right? Not to go, oh, this is terrible, you know, it's to be expected. Peter says, but just as there were false people who denied the sovereignty of God and choosing to live not under the lordship of God in the old days under the prophets, so too in amongst the church, sadly, there will be folk who think that it's not okay. It's we can actually do a bit of this and a bit of that and a bit of this and a bit of this and believe that and believe this, and and persuade others that it's okay as well. There will be those amongst us who will teach us falsely about the things of God. And so that's why Peter was very keen in the first chapter to say, trust what you've heard about Jesus from the lips of Jesus. Trust what you've heard about God from the lips of God by those who were eyewitnesses, heard him and saw him, and have written down what God's word has said to us. There will be false teachers amongst us. Be aware of their danger. Be aware. And this is what the next lot of chapters say, next lot of verses, from one right through to the end of the chapter almost. Be aware of their danger. Because we read there that they'll, whether they realise it or not, that some will, they'll want to distract or take away from our security in knowing Christ as the way of salvation. Some might, for example, it's as simple as this. Oh, you don't have to believe in Jesus. You can believe many things, really, as long as you go to church and get baptized and confirmed, all right, and get married in the church, all right? All religions are right with God. No, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me, Jesus said. I've learnt to use the word in answering a lot of questions with people, so as to pick a time when it's right to be able to say, no, that's incorrect. That's not what the Bible teaches. So if I hear someone sort of saying something that's contrary to the scriptures about God, I might just go, and then can I talk with you further about that? It's so easy for us to want to go and follow the buttercups and play with our friends in their thinking and go off tracks so as to play with them in their thinking. We must stay on track no matter what. Wisdom is needed in these situations, because be careful of the danger. Be careful also, be aware of their motives and their methods as well too, right? It's lovely that Diane actually mentioned at the beginning, speak the truth in love, all right? Loving is more than just a wishy-washy feeling. It's an action. It's a concern for the other at your own expense to be able to do what's right by the other. Be careful. Be aware of their motives and their methods by which they seek to gain. They could be anyone. That's the thing. We might be thinking it might be the teachers like me up the front. Yes, it could be. You know, those people who are up the front or people who put themselves out as authorities about religion and God. But it also could be very much amongst each one of us as well. They offer nothing, Peter says. They're like mist that's here today and gone tomorrow, or trees that are dead, uprooted. And they offer nothing. We have everything in the truth of Jesus. And they will be judged and condemned and punished along with the world and its thinking about not following God's way. So be aware. But the key thing here that Peter wants to pick out in this chapter is verse 9. Rest. Rest in the knowledge of the confidence of God's safety. For we read there, if God did not spare that list of stories that he's used from the Old Testament and from God's history, if God did not spare or did not judge, but he also protected his people in the past, he will also do that in the present as well and in the future. If this is so, then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from trials and to hold the unrighteous for punishment and the day of judgment. I want us to rest in the knowledge here, as Jude ends off his letter with, now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and present you before his glorious presence without fault and with exceeding great joy, to the only wise God be glory, majesty, and power forever and ever. God will keep us safe as we trust in the truth of Jesus, and will hold for judgment those who don't. There will be false teachers among you, so know what to do with them. And here are I think, five or six. And the outline, these are in the sermon outline that you've been given by email during the week, or you can come along to Bible study tonight or on Thursday. But from Matthew chapter 7, let's just observe amongst the people. Jesus says, watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes and figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, and a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Right? Watch amongst us, encourage one another, and to keep the fruit of God's Spirit amongst us, to be godly and holy amongst each other, to be like Jesus, to speak the truth about the Bible to one another. The second thing that comes up here is protect each other. Paul, just before he leaves, speaks in Acts 20, Luke writes it down, keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of church of God, which he bought with his own blood. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years I never stopped warning each of you, night and day, with tears. And then Romans, Paul writes, keep away from them. In verse 17 to 19 of chapter 16, I urge you, brothers and sisters, to watch out for those who cause divisions and who put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teaching you have learnt. Keep away from them. For such people are not serving our Lord Christ, but their own appetites. By smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the minds of naive people. Everyone has heard about your obedience, so I rejoice because of you, but I want you to be wise about what is good and innocent about what is evil. In 1 Corinthians 4 verse 5, there's a wisdom of just simply trusting God to judge the matter, to not take action at that point. Therefore, judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait until the Lord comes. He will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and will expose the motives of the heart. At that time, each will receive their praise from God. My mum used to say, best say nothing at some points than to look a fool and open your mouth and remove all doubt, all right? It's best sometimes just to say nothing at that point, pray for them, and to ask God to soften their hearts and to see the truth and leave it with him. In 1 Corinthians 5, verses 9 to 11, it says, to avoid or associating with. I wrote to you in my letter not to associate with sexually immoral people. Not at all meaning the people of this world who are immoral or the greedy or swindlers or idolaters. In that case, you would have to leave this world. But now I'm writing to you that you must not associate with anyone who claims to be a brother or a sister, but as sexually immoral or greedy or idolater or slanderer or drunkard or swindler. Do not even eat with such people. The red flags are there coming up for us to keep us on track, because we can easily want to go off and play in the daffodils and the flowers. And lastly, in Titus 1 verses 5 to 16, Paul, he is specifically talking to the elders of the church, to the clergy and to those set over the church with authority, to uphold the truth and to make sure that order is kept. Paul writes, the reason I left you in Crete was that you might put in order what was left unfinished and appoint elders in every town as I directed you. An elder must be blameless, faithful to his wife, a man whose children believe and are not open to the charge of being wild and disobedient. Since an overseer manages God's household, he must be blameless, not overbearing, not quick-tempered, not given to drunkenness, not violent, not pursuing dishonest gain. Rather, he must be hospitable, one who loves what is good, who is self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined. He must hold firmly to the trustworthy message as it has been taught, so that he can encourage others by sound doctrine and refute those who oppose it. For there are many rebellious people, full of meaningless talk and deception, especially those of the circumcision group. They must be silenced, because they are disrupting whole households by teaching things they ought not to teach, and that for the sake of dishonest gain. One of Crete's own prophets has said, Cretans are always liars, evil brutes, lazy gluttons. This saying is true. Therefore rebuke them sharply so that they will be sound in the faith and will pay no attention to Jewish myths or to the merely human commands of those who reject the truth. To the pure all things are pure, but to those who are corrupted and do not believe, nothing is pure. In fact, both their minds and consciences are corrupted. They claim to know God, but their actions, they deny him. They are detestable, disobedient, and unfit for doing anything good. It's sad, isn't it? It's grieving that amongst the church, the denomination, the big C church, you know, we read of the truth of this possibly being, and it is, sadly, in our own denomination as Anglicans in Australia. It's very sad. There will be false teachers among us, but be careful of unknowingly or knowingly becoming a false teacher ourselves, as the last little verse is here. If they escape the corruption of the world by knowing our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ and are again entangled in it and overcome, they are worse off at the end than they were at the beginning. It would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than to have known it and then to turn their backs on the sacred command that was passed on to them. Of them the proverbs are true. A dog returns to its vomit and a sow that is washed returns to her wallowing in the mud. And it's sad when we see a brother or a sister who once held to a certain truth about the and truth of God's word abandon that and try to take others aside with them, or encourage a group to leave a church and follow them. And it's sad when this happens, and it really is. And it'd be better off for them, you know. What Peter's saying here is they've gone back to step one on the snakes and ladders track. They've gone back to step one. It's sad. And so, if anything, just reminding that amongst God's people, amongst the church, there will be God's people, and there'll be those who claim to be part of God's people who will not be and who will distract and want to take us off the track. But for us, we're kept on the track by God. Put red flags up for each other. Help us to keep on track. Pray for each other and speak the truth in love to one another. It's perilous that we live with this and knowing this, but we're to persevere to the end. And that's what this chapter, I take it, is about, as we grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, knowing that all that we need for grace and abundance, all that we need for life, is knowing Jesus and being right with him, as revealed in the Bible, in God's word. Persevere through the peril of knowing that there are dangers about us in this way. Let me pray. Loving Heavenly Father, it seems so strange to have to speak about the reality of the church living in a fallen world. We know, Father God, that the church is made up of your saved people, but also amongst the church, the wider church worldwide, there will be those who the scriptures have reminded us who will lead us off track from going and following your word, the Bible. Lord, help those who teach the Bible. Help me to teach the Bible correctly. I thank you for this congregation who put up red flags for me and help me and pray for me to stay on track and to preach your word correctly. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
So it is appropriate that we sing this song next, All That We Need Is Christ. So if you wouldn't mind standing with masks on and join in with our trusty singers. Thank you.
for life. All that is needed to be more godly comes from knowing Christ. And so for me it's reason had to faith, perseverance.
Sit or kneel for prayer. First of these prayers today comes from the Valley of Vision, and we are praying for grace in times of trials. Please join with me. Father of mercies, hear us for Jesus' sake. You know we are sinful even in our closest walk with you. It's only because of your mercy that we did not die long ago. Thank you for your grace, which gives us faith in the cross. Your grace powerfully reconciles each one of us to you and you to each believer. We thank you for drawing us by your great love and for reckoning us innocent in Christ, though guilty in ourselves. You are the giver of all grace. We look to you for strength to maintain your graces within us. You know it's hard for us to practice what we believe. Please strengthen us against temptations. You know, Lord, that our hearts are an unexhausted fountain of sin. From our hearts flow rivers of corruption since our conception, flowing into every pattern of our behaviour. You have disarmed us of the means in which we previously trusted. We have no strength but in you. You alone can hold back our evil ways, but without your grace to sustain us, we fall. Satan's darts quickly inflame us, and the shield which should quickly quench them easily drops from our hand. Empower us against his wiles and assaults. Please keep us aware of our weaknesses and our need to depend on your strength. Let every trial teach us more of your peace, more of your love. Thank you that your Holy Spirit is continually poured into our hearts to increase your graces. We cannot preserve or improve them unless the Holy Spirit works continually in each one of us. May your awesome Holy Spirit confirm our trust in your promised help, and let us walk humbly in growing dependence upon you for Jesus' sake. Amen. Lord, we pray for the world, the whole world, and pray in your mercy that you would give wisdom to all leaders to manage the pandemic well. We do pray for your mercy in Myanmar, and long, Lord, that peace and justice would be restored soon. Lord, we pray for a world that knows Jesus and honours him as your chosen King of the Kingdom of God. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Loving Father, we pray for your church, that you would give us wisdom in selecting a new archbishop. We pray for kindness and godliness in the process. We long that your church would be a place where your word is faithfully taught, where believers delight to witness that Jesus is Lord. May it be a place where members build each other up in love and truth. May it be a place of deep healing and a place where you are glorified. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, we pray for all hospital chaplains. Thank you for the great privilege that they can minister when others are very vulnerable. And we thank you, God, that you want more than just physical healing alone. You want healing of the body and the soul and the spirit. We pray for those patients who are Christian that they would trust you through unexpected things or unasked for things. We pray for others who are pre-Christians that they would be drawn by the unique, unconditional love shared by chaplains. We long they would come to realize how significant Jesus is for them today. We pray specifically for Emily working at Concord Hospital. Please sustain her in times of emotional exhaustion. Enable her to listen deeply and respond wisely. And we pray, Lord, that you would bless her with times of refreshment, both in and out of the hospital. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please join with me in the prayer that's on the screen. Heavenly Father, we praise you for adopting us as your children and making us heirs of eternal life. In your mercy, you have washed us from our sins and made us clean in your sight. Yet we still fail to love you and serve you as we should. Forgive us our sins and renew us by your grace, that we may continue to grow as members of Christ, in whom alone is our salvation. Amen.
God is slow to anger and full of compassion. He forgives all who humbly repent and turn to his Son, Jesus Christ, in whom there is no condemnation. Amen. Let's close with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Okay, just mention the vestry meeting today. There is a sheet for you to sign at the back if you haven't yet done that. At the end of our service today, if you could just make your way up there, sign that, and then come back and take a seat for that meeting, just so that we have a record of those who attended. There's a few notices in the news and notes this week. The defibrillator instruction video is available. If you want to learn how to operate the defibrillator that you may or may not have yet seen in our foyer, if you haven't seen it yet, take a quick look in the break between our service and the meeting. And then please look at that website and have a look at the video. There was an interesting story. I don't watch the sports programs, but my husband has it on. And there was a famous footballer, Gary Jack, who was fit, healthy, older man, I think his late 50s, was in training with his taekwondo or jiu-jitsu class or something, and collapsed, and pretty lifeless. And the instructor of the class recognised what the problem was and started CPR. Ambulance people came, took him to hospital, managed to save him, and he's back there living in... managed to go to his son's wedding last weekend, apparently. And the thinking that I had and the parish council agreed was that the idea of having defibrillators in the church, because we are not a young group of people, most of us here, a few of us are young, some younger than others, but you just never know when something might happen. So the defibrillator is there because I know that if I have to do CPR on someone, I wouldn't last long in doing that. And it can sometimes take a long time to keep someone alive before an ambulance can get here. And that defibrillator is something that will do that job for you much more efficiently, with much less physical energy from you, to keep someone alive who may require that. Now, of course, we hope that that never happens, but it's just reassuring to know that we have that there. And I think if you understand and are no longer frightened about the machine, then you'll be more confident if it's ever required that you'll know how to use it. And you don't know, you might be here and it might be you and one other person. So it really is important that you do start to look at that. So please look that up and get a bit of an idea at least. Take the fear factor out of it. We have a lot coming on in March. We have the parenting course, the Families Equip. I don't know if it's up there. Nope. Nope. Back we go. Thank you. So that's a monthly program through March. Starts last week, I think. And so we've got three more to go of that one. And it's not too late if you know someone who might benefit from that. And then we've got some visiting people coming to preach to us over the rest of the month. And then, of course, we have our Easter services coming up as well. Reminder of the Bible study that's on Sunday evening at that Trevor runs, and then he runs another one on Thursdays. And if you're not yet in a Bible study group and would like to, please speak to Trevor, or I think he'd be the one to speak to because he knows who's got ones running. That would be fantastic if you'd like to join one of those. Okay, let's move on. We do have a God who loves us. And we have things we believe that have been believed by people for quite a number of years now. Let's share what we believe. Would you please stand? Do you believe in God the Father?
We believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in God the Son?
We believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit?
We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
We have our final song for today, and it's I Stand Amazed. So there are times when I read through certain Bible passages and I am absolutely amazed at this God that we have come to know, and I hope you enjoy this song as well.
I wonder how he could love me. I
and my sorrows, he made them his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Saviour's love for me. When with the ransomed in glory his face I at last shall see, 'twill be my joy through the ages to sing of his love for me.
Today we've been reminded of the evil that's in the world and still within us. And I was reminded of the story in Genesis of Isaac, Rebekah, Jacob and Esau and the terrible mess they got themselves in there trying to push the agenda and make it happen in their timing. But it's amazing that God had his plan and he made sure that that's what came out of the whole situation. So we do have a God that will bring us through and will make things right for the world. So I think today's sermon actually reminded us of that too. So let's finish today on this note. Father, take us and use us to love and serve you and all people in the power of your Spirit and in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.